This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Power Lunch. Power Lunch with Bobby Malloy.
Weekdays, 12 to 3 p.m.
Are funerals becoming too modernized? We're African people, so how we as Africans practice our traditional rites in this modern age, when people live in cities, people work in offices, we don't have much land, the body corporate is going to fight you if you're slaughtering there on your balcony in four ways. We really run the risk of being disconnected from our ancestors. And this is something that's quite likely troublesome to many of us as Africans who try to cling to or return to our roots while living a modern life. And it's clear that funeral services are evolving. People are becoming more aware of how funerals don't always have to be restricted by tradition. There are gradual shifts that are happening, a shift to celebrating life rather than mourning the deceased, right? Funeral directors then, you know, come across as happy, and you facilitate something very different to the grief and dark mourning that we maybe have had years ago. But today's funerals are not the same as funerals of 10 years ago, certainly not 50 or 100 years past. Funerals now are a lot more individualized, right? One service was very much like the next in days gone by. But these days, it's really just how you would like to celebrate the person who has departed, or even now, how they would have wanted to be celebrated. We're given very specific instructions that I want everyone to wear such and such a color, and I want my funeral to be at such and such a time, and spread my ashes. And that's even another part of the conversation, right? To bury or to cremate, etc. and so forth. So let's talk from a cultural point of view. Professor Sehaugele Ngubane is with us to talk about funeral culture, and if we've veered too far off of what African culture actually is, are African funerals becoming too modernized? Professor Ngubane, it's wonderful to talk to you. Welcome to Power Lunch.
Yes, thank you very much for inviting me.
So let's start at the very beginning. I mean, our question is, are funerals becoming too modernized? What's your view on the modernization of African funerals?
Yeah, I think your opening remarks are on point, because we have witnessed that the funerals, more especially ceremonies, have become modernized because of the changes in the lifestyle of the people of this time. Mm. So there are quite a number of innovation and adaptation on the way these rites of passage is observed. And initially, as African people, we view death as the final rite of passage, and people who have passed on must be treated with respect and dignity. Mm. But sometimes we feel that this is now changing. People's attitude have changed towards funerals. We expect people to be grieving, to be mourning, like you have said in your opening remarks. But this is not the way it is. It has become. People come there to celebrate life. They bring their cooler box and they drink during the ceremonies. So there's a lot that has changed. And it depends also on the cultural shift. There's also a cultural shift. People 10 years back did not behave as they are behaving in nowadays. Mm. And also, you have alluded to the point that a funeral is a reflection of the person who is deceased.
Sure.
So, yeah, the person who dies has got preferences, and also some people will tell people, families, that this is how I want my funeral to be conducted. So there's a lot of innovation to these funerals. It has changed.
And so innovation is one thing. Even change and maybe being dynamic is another thing. But if we think about what culturally is at the core of this rite of sending somebody's spirit back to the source or back to the creator or to become an ancestor, have we veered too far off from what at the core of the culture it should be?
I would say that ideally it is important to consider afterlife when we talk about funerals, because as I said, it is a rite of passage to heaven. So people still believe that when you pass on, you become an ancestor. So afterlife is still core, and I think it's still observed by people who are living, because funerals are for the living and not for the dead.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
So then it's very interesting about, you know, which specific elements of funeral modernization are more controversial and contentious within African cultural traditions, right? Because if the funeral is for the living, you know, why not pop bottles and have champagne and laugh about how your friend was so funny or the things that happened during your lives or, you know, how strict your father was? Why not do that within African cultural tradition, Prof?
Yeah, I think... What one can say at this point, it becomes the fate of the person who has deceased. If he believed in celebration, then celebration would be okay, because the funeral will be reflecting on how the people lived their lives. Mm-hmm. Because that's why people say we are celebrating a life well lived. So that's why they bring that mood of celebration, while the family members and immediate family members are grieving and mourning. And I think that's where we have gone wrong. I'm not judging our communities, but it differs from community to community. But we must respect the bereaved families that they are mourning and they are grieving. And the fact of the matter, by attending a funeral ceremony, you are bringing comfort to the people who are bereaved. So you cannot dance and celebrate and sing, but it depends on the life of the person who's deceased.
So what did used to happen? Can you paint a picture for us? And I know all of our different cultures are so unique.
We are so diverse.
Prof. But can you paint a picture, you know, what would a funeral look like, you know, even 100 years ago?
You see, a funeral is a very dignified ceremony where numerous rituals are observed. From the moment the person passes on, there are rituals that begins and commence. Like when you hear that so-and-so is gone, people will start lamenting. And lamenting is so significant culturally, because you are lamenting to the ancestors. You know, Africans take death as a misfortune. And when they cry, they are crying, they are pleading to the ancestors, why is one of the loved one is taken away from us? Stop doing this. That's why they lament in a way that when they approach the homestead where death has occurred, they will make that lamentation. And this is part of the ritual. And then they come and bring food to comfort the people who are grieving. And then after that, then on the day, there's also a lot of rituals that takes place. People will gather within the family and they will talk as a family, talk about the person who has deceased, and then they will communicate with the ancestors that this is what is happening now. Some people will use a branch of tea that we are taking you away from your house to the gravesite, and people will gather around the gravesite I think there's a lot of things that happens. Like when you are at the gravesite, the family take charge of the process.
Mm.
It should be the family members who are the core of the rituals. And then the body is wrapped in a cow skin or a blanket or whatever, or a mat, and then it's taken with very dignified manner and put on the ground. And in the past, if it is the head of the family. The head of the family, they will create a shelter within the grave where he will sit down and lie down.
Yes.
Because it is believed that he is not dead, it's not over, because they are preparing the body for the next life. Sometimes they bring some utensils and some of the stuff that he used to work with so that he takes them with. And the idea is that a person will work for the living once it's dead, because it becomes supernatural. And the idea of ancestors is that they look after the living. So that's the dignity that was observed in the past.
Mm.
And then the other rituals would be washing of hands before, washing of the body, and also... afterwards, before you come back to home, then you have some ritual of washing hands to cleanse yourself from them. And after some time, they will have ceremonies like ubuyisa, bringing the spirit back to rest and to take on the duty of looking after the living. So that is where the dignity is so important, because it is not like the body is just gone forever, but people believe that a person who passes on is joining the ancestors and is going to be instrumental in protecting and mentoring the living.
I mean, that paints a picture of dignity, respect, but also there's quite a beauty in how each of the cultural rites, as they happen, as you say, on the day, and then several weeks later, and then a year later, and what that does for the grieving process. And so, yeah, I wonder if the modernization does tend to lose some of those factors that then, you know, take us away from healing or moving on or growing through these experiences. And that's really what I'd like to talk about through this conversation. Our cultural expert, Dr. Professor Sekaole Ngubane, is with us on Power Lunch this afternoon, as Pumlani has just called in. Hi, Pumlani.
Hi, my leaders, Ninjani.
Well,
awesome. Hey, leaders, man, there's something that's bedeviling my family. So we're very cultural. And we've got three ceremonies, zombuyiso. You know, when an elderly man passes on, there's a traditional ceremony you need to perform. This ceremony can easily cost, you know, the inputs for the ceremony, easily maybe 50,000, including alcohol and the cows and the stuff. So I was just thinking, man, we no longer have the cows, we no longer have the land. This ceremony, traditionally, it used to perform it, people didn't need money. They just went to the kraal and pick a cow and sacrifice. Now we no longer have those things. And my family, we don't afford these things. And people are scared not doing these things. You know what I'm saying? And now I feel like we're in a situation whereby the culture that is supposed to enrich us and make and bring us wealth, it's actually enslaving us. So is it possible that maybe we could have a dialogue around these ceremonies? Maybe we could, instead of sacrificing a cow, we could do it with the word. You know what I'm saying? Because if my ancestors are really my ancestors and they are good, they're generally good, I don't think they will mind if I come and say to them, the family doesn't have funds. We no longer have land. We no longer have livestock. can they accept the word? We do these ceremonies with the word instead of spending. Because, to be quite frank, Papi, most of the ceremonies, they are parties. They're all about alcohol. People will be drinking from day one, from the first day to the last day. No one is concentrating. You know what I'm saying? No one. And it's no longer now about the processes. Yes. It's about the alcohol. You know what I'm saying? That's what annoys me about. And they're very expensive. My family is all over South Africa.
Yes.
Some they're all over the world. And guess what needs to happen? We all need to travel there to the Eastern Cape to Embay. And as a family, as a collective, we will spend around 700,000. Because
sure.
people, they need to hire cars.
They
need to think of that money, Papi, as a collective. That's the money we could buy a truck and start a business as a family.
So essentially, Phumlani, you know, you're asking, perhaps modernization is necessary.
Yes.
You know, perhaps it isn't about cutting corners or doing things that ignore the rituals and rites. It's about making sure that they can be done in an affordable way, in a more modern way to accept everybody. Prof, what is your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Phumlani has a point because these innovations to our funerals is becoming more expensive. Mm. And with the funeral directors and services, we families are grieving and they're expected to pay a lot. But what I need to highlight from what Phumlani was saying is that the significance of slaughtering is the spill of blood because you can only communicate to the ancestors by spilling blood. Mm. So if you can't afford a big cow, you can get even a chicken and you spill blood. So you can reduce because the essence of spilling blood is meant to communicate or to bridge between the living and the dead. So it's important. You can't have a shortcut there because the ritual needs to be observed so that there is a proper and appropriate burial for your loved one.
And when he talks about the word as opposed to many of the other aspects, I mean, you've just clarified about spilling blood, so that's one aspect. But to his point about using the word and communicating in other ways.
Yes, the word is very important because everything amongst African people is communicated.
Mm.
So you speak, it's like Christians praying to God. They communicate their feelings, their emotions to God. And people who believe in African religion and African ancestors, they also communicate. They can explain their situation to the ancestors. But they need to do it the right way, not a shortcut. Like you go to the holy place corner in the house and you burn the incense and you speak to them. But still, you have to have the traditional beer that you brew so that they communicate to you. Because it is believed that they can only listen to you when you respect them.
Mm.
Yes.
So the modernization should never take away from what, Professor?
I think the modernized one. We were talking about earlier on in our conversation, we were talking about ceremonies.
Mm.
Now we are talking about rituals.
Mm.
African rituals signifies a rite of passage, which I said earlier that it is the final rite of passage of a living person,
yes,
where the physical is separated from physical to spiritual. So those rituals need to be observed.
No matter what. All right, Prof.
Yes.
We're going to find out what's happening in our headlines now, and then we'll come back. Stephen, I see you. I see some people who are making links to what happened during COVID-19, right? So what happens if the law at that time doesn't allow you to go all out with performing your rituals and practices as an African during a funeral? What do we do then? And then some questions around who even can take part in various aspects of funerals. funeral rights and privileges. Professor Sehaukele Ngubane is our guest, a cultural expert, to talk about modernization in our cultures and in funerals. It's 1:30, time for your headlines.
Learn something new and connect with like-minded contributors in health, wealth, and relationships. This is Power Lunch
with Bobby Molloy
on Power 98.7.
Are funerals becoming too modernized? What is at the core of our culture as African people when it comes to the funeral service and all of the related rites, practices, and rituals? And are we veering far away from what is at the core? And I suppose another question that's coming as a result of Pumlani's big question, 50,000 rand per person or per family to, you know, do certain practices when it comes to funerals is really steep. And so perhaps modernization is necessary in order to make sure that the communication still happens with the ancestors, for example, but it may not need to happen in the way that it has in historical context. Cultural expert Professor Sehaukele Ngubane is our guest, and you're more than welcome to call us on 0861-987-000. Stephen, you're on the line. Hello.
Hi. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Prof. I just wanted to highlight something. What I feel of that the funerals in rural areas are completely different from those that are in urban areas. Let me say, when in the rural area you go there, there is a discipline. You don't go into the funeral yard if you have not a jacket. You don't have a jacket, and once you are in, you don't say anything. It's only the pastor and the program director that's going to be talked. And you are not even allowed to move around during the service.
Mm.
And then in the urban area, you go there, you see everybody standing all over. And the other thing that is actually, when you talk about modernization, is if a person is known to have died because of let me just say, he's a taxi driver or he was somebody that was using a gun. This thing of actually using guns to indicate that we are now saying farewell to our brother.
Mm-hmm.
How is it going to be addressed? Because it is scary. You don't know what's going on in the mind of the people. And the other one, Papi, that I wanted to speak to, that's now from the old one. When somebody has actually died through a car accident in Mpumalanga and he comes from Tabantu, they always have got to take a car again, came to that area where the agent and says that, no, we have come to take his spirit or
yes,
his spirit.
Yes.
What about now, if you died and then you were on the plane and the plane has actually splashed into the ocean? How is that cultural thing?
Ooh.
How are they going to retrieve that spirit from the sea?
That is such an interesting question, Dr. Steve. Thank you very much. Prof, on all of Dr. Steve's comments, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, let me start off by the latter.
Mm.
When you die in an accident or you drown in the river, the ritual is still conducted using your clothes. They take your clothes and perform the rituals, because like if you are killed by a knife or a gunshot, you are not expected to be on the premises of your homestead, because you are bringing a curse to that home.
Okay.
So that is why they will fetch your spirit and leave your body outside the family. So in the modern times, people will just ignore that, and yet these things do occur, where if one family member died through a knife, there will be the next death in a similar way. People will keep on dying on the same way. So that thing is undeniable, because it does happen. Like if you die through a car accident and you bring the body inside the premises, then you are causing the next family member to die in a similar way. So what they do to counteract that is that they bring the traditional healers to perform a ritual to stop the curse from affecting the remaining family members.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is how you can do it, because sometimes people can die and you can't find the body, but the clothes that the person used to wear and those that the person was fond of are utilized because they feel that his debt is still remaining on the clothes, on the textile debt. So there's a way of doing it in one way or another.
I suppose, you know, if you're in the middle of the ocean, somewhere far, far away, that's what he's referring to. So okay, that closes the gap there and closes the loop. This is a very interesting one from Stembiso, who's called in as well. Hi, Stembiso.
Hi, Bobby, and hi, Prof. The caller before me has spoken about the religious taking over and completely, you know, disrespecting culture and family. But the reason I called, I'd like to hear the Prof's comment on the following, that funerals of black people and traditions that involve animals, which are mammals, have been commercialized, you know, such that it takes away the dignity of black people. Insurance companies selling funeral covers, one family having, you know, five covers. And also when you look at where these funeral covers are sold, you get, the element of class and utter racism. Mm. Because you have medical aids that will cost like 350 rand, but these are not sold. I mean, we are sold the idea that we must respect and, you know, give dignity to people when they are dead. The second aspect of it, and I heard this from Mbuso Khoza, I think, who's a cultural activist as well, to say, you know, this slaughtering business, it has a lot of commerce and racism in the sense that it's black people are buying goats and cows from white people, and they slaughter to appease amadlozi and all of that. And he was suggesting that the more the family slaughters, the poorer that family becomes. And it's obviously the poor families that will be doing this. And what this does is that we have stopped to solve our problems, to look after, look for other solutions. The solution is a white goat, you know, and this is obviously bad. It insults our culture and it's racist and it's completely commercial because, you know, it's white people and now Indian people that are selling these animals to us. What is the Prof's comment on that? Thank you.
Amazing. Very interesting, Stembi. So, Prof, where do you want to start?
Yeah, it's a very interesting remark here. I think Mbuso was also right that we buy our goats and from the white men. But I think the essence of the ritual is that you need to have a goat, and the ancestors will always specify the color of the goat. So irrespective of where you have got it from, the white or from any source, it doesn't matter to me that you have bought it from the white or Afrikaner or whatever. But the rite or the ritual demands that you a goat, and that color is also important, because when things go wrong, they will blame to the procedure that was followed when a person passes on. But I do understand the previous caller that things have changed, and with technology, we've seen a lot of modernized ceremonies taking place virtually to allow people from outside to attend. I think some of the things are quite useful for the families that are bereaved to have more people coming through to comfort them. But the issue of buying policies.
Yes, I find that fascinating.
Yeah, it is the lifestyle of people has changed, and we always say that culture and cultural practices evolves. So it goes according to the modern times. Previously, you wouldn't have spoken about death because they would say, once you mention the word death, you are inviting death to come to the family. But now we talk about death in our social media. Even if a person passes on, it is on the social media, even memorial. So these things go according to the new lifestyle of the communities, and it will differ from one community to another, because there is this technology which personifies the person who has passed on and his community. Mm. If they believed in technology, then that will prevail, and we can't stop it, because we know that the culture and cultural practices do evolve.
So that, for me, becomes part of the question about modernization, because I'll never forget a story about... and it could be an urban legend, but it's used to describe what happens with culture, right? So this woman was talking about how she always watched her mother cut a chicken in a certain way to cook it every day. And so when she then became a wife, then she cut the chicken in exactly the same way in order to fit it into a pot. And she kept doing that. And her daughter then learned from her, that's how we cut a chicken. It's just like how we do it. And her daughter said, why do we do it like that? And the mom didn't have an answer to why she did it like that. And then she went to her mother, so the grandmother now, to say, why do we cut the chicken? And it's meticulous in this way. And she says, when we were first married, your grandfather and I, we didn't have enough pots. So, you know, the biggest pot we had was quite small. And there was no other way to cook this full chicken than to cut it into this specific way. And it illustrates that it was just because at that time, that's all they had. There's no magic to the chicken being cut that way. Your husband won't stop cheating on you if you cut your chicken that way. It just is because the chicken didn't fit into the pot, Professor.
So, that's what we call tradition. Mm. It is the family tradition to do that. And I have a similar story that I've shared with some people. That there was also a lady who used to cut a steak into two. And when the child asked, the answer was that the ovens at the time, when they had stoves experience, was too small. Right. You couldn't put the whole steak inside. Now we've got bigger ovens. So that's why we are saying the lifestyle changes and the technology changes as well.
Yes.
But that is a tradition. There is a difference between a tradition and culture.
Right.
Culture is the sum total. If many families will cut the chicken, it will become a cultural practice. But that is a tradition of that individual family or community.
So that's quite fascinating, because I'm hearing Stembiso, our female caller who called in to talk about funeral covers versus medical aid, right?
Mm-hmm.
The issue, you know, even with buying the goats from a white farmer, if that's part of the issue, it is around how we regard life, how we regard what's important and what is of value. So we won't pour, and this is a huge generalization, but to a point, we won't even be marketed to buy medical aid. Rather, we'll be marketed to buy funeral covers.
Funeral covers, yes. That will cater Pumlan's concern that people must prepare for the funerals whilst they are still alive and put money so that they can afford the 50,000.
Yeah, exactly. Per family, he said 750,000, Prof, in the end. France, you're in Centurion. Hello.
Hello, Maria. How are you?
Very well, France. Welcome.
Hey, you know, this culture of the funeral culture and traditions, it surprises me, because as I look closer to it, is the majority of our practices derived from our colonial stories.
Mm.
Understand?
Mm.
Yeah, like this practice of us going to fetch the spirit is a Roman practice. just never an African way of doing things.
Is it?
I mean, yeah, it derived purely from Roman. It is just a Roman practice. Yes, and then you can just read it. You'll get it. And then another way is this texture. Africans never have a texture story, and yet today we must be monitored to how we clothe, how we wear things on the funerals. I mean, majority of what we practice have got their roots with colonial practices and colonial way of doing things.
Well, let's hear from the prof.
Yeah,
is this all Roman?
I tend to disagree. We have the umlahla nkosi is a tree that was used traditionally to fetch the spirit, and it still applies even now, although it is scarce. But now you can get any branch of the tree. But there was initially umlahla nkosi. That umlahla nkosi was used to fetch the spirit. So it's not like it's people who are converted to Christianity or Roman Catholic influence, because there are people who never attend to Christianity at all, but they believe in the curse, because they take dying or death as an omen. So you need, that's why they are cleansing ceremony, because they are cleansing the bad luck or misfortune that has occurred, because people should live, and people, when they die, it means there's some witchcraft. They always find a reason why a person can die. So this has been in the roots of mainly the African people or AmaZulu. They've used that practice of fetching the spirit of a person who dies away from home.
Siyazi is on the line. Hi, Siyazi.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey.
Someone not commenting is coming from Muhedin.
Okay.
My view is that my things can be as simple as possibly can be, because it's a little one, El Tabellis. I'll get a little with Mamu as I should give. As I do. So I want to be high so great if you look at them around. And then, how to get answers? I need to know what I want to get on scope and I'm back in your hand. My experience, that worker was a taxi driver on the whole path. And I've moved on with my life, and in a hundred and fifty Nebolo, I want to have a country, second to school, Jimmy Pashay, letting it send to an offer. You know, the middle city school, I fell last time at 9, and then had to be next week and to the Gideon and Nagali, so Nanka Tower of Wanaka. I keep promoting after moonlight to share a little. I keep him, keep promote, actually, a party like a bar. How then next thing comes to Sanga on a second week?
Okay.
But that's a worry. Sometimes malapena ho mutemole mo teng ka hore ha hloka hetse go ba ancest ma problem go ho ke pila le ba tlo le me le patelena. I refuse to believe that motho a mean hona jwa le patelena ka kwa will add any benefit to my life. I say ancest,
suddenly they become an angel.
Suddenly they're an angel. I don't think it works like that. I think But then again, this is coming from an atheist who doesn't believe that there's anything else after the afterlife. Which is unknown as far as I'm concerned.
Very interesting. Thank you for sharing that. So, Prof, the idea of who becomes an ancestor, does everybody become an ancestor? If you had a mean grandmother, all a shapanka fella come on tlung, suddenly you must patla them and they're going to give you blessings.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I couldn't hear. The line was very, very bad. I couldn't hear what the caller was saying. But from my experience, an ancestor is a male, which is unfortunate that it is a male. That is why in the genealogy of the family, when you communicate to the ancestors, you must call all the male figures in that family in their chronological order. Mm. Because if you miss one, things will go wrong and you will go to the diviners. They'll tell you that there is one ancestor that you did not mention, and they will tell you that go back and start the process over, because there's one that is missing. So in the history of the ancestors, they are very rare female ancestors. So people who are mean, once they die, those rituals, the cleansing rituals, they take that meanness from that person. And before the person is converted into an ancestor, he is now purified. That is why there is a question where people are cremated, because when you cremate person, then the person needs to be cleansed before he qualifies to be an ancestor. So the rituals that I observe are mainly conducted to purify the meanness from a person.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, so yes, to usher them into a position where, yes, they would be serving in the afterlife or cleansed in the afterlife. That is very interesting. Yes. Wow. Okay, Freya, I think you were next. Freya, hello.
Hello.
Frida, I beg, yes, your pardon. Welcome. How are you? Okay, thanks. We're talking funerals, yeah.
Yeah. You know, what fascinates me is that we take things that we learn on the street or that we learn as we grow.
Mm.
I know 4 generations from my mom. I know my mom, his mother, and her mother, and her grandmother.
Okay.
And then I also know her grandparents. And I know things that they have instilled in the family, meaning that the male side of my mom's side, I know what are things that they need to follow, mm-hmm, you know. So I think there are times where things become more fashionable or culture evolves because of people think that they know. We are Tswanas. We practice things differently, you know. Mm. We are not going to be advised by the Nguni culture who... Mm. We should worship the ancestors from ancestrally. Because from my mom's side, I know that there are things that they observe when a child is born, when there's a funeral, there are things that they observe. But I know that once you've buried someone, you are not allowed to go and visit the grave site. Mm. You close the chapter. This is how we were raised. This is how my grandmother was raised. What my great-grandmother instilled in them, that this is what you do. And there are things that you observe when a person is alive. Mm. And make sure that when they are alive, you observe them. Because,
yes,
once they have passed, mm, you'll never have access to them.
Mm.
So why do we as foreigners who are from Bethany have to now come and enforce things that are done in the Nguni culture and say that we've lost our line? We haven't. I may,
yes,
have lost from my father's side, but from my mother's side, definitely not.
Okay.
Yes, Tabi, I've been saying several times during our conversation that there is diversity and the innovation should embrace the diversity of our country.
Mm.
Tswanas will do it in their own way to appease their ancestors in that way. And the Ngunis, it happens that I'm Nguni. I was making examples, but there is diversity,
yeah,
and it differs from community to community. Within the Nguni people, there are practices that are diverse from,
yes,
other people who are also Nguni. So,
yes,
I think I agree with what she say,
yes,
she's saying, that it's through observation, because when we say we must go back to our roots, the roots are our ancestors. This is how they did things, and we want to do things their way. That's what is called culture.
Okay. Joseph, you're our final caller. Hello.
Yeah, hello, hello. Quickly, I can see there's not enough time. I want to say we as Africans, we are being oppressed by our government when coming to us, having that freedom to exercise our culture.
Okay.
I want to say the disappointment I'm also having is our own African people who are professionals, who are professors or having lots of money. They don't even stand with Africans when coming to issues of culture. I want to say again,
they don't stand with Africans. In what way, Joseph? Yeah, what do you mean?
In the way that we need enough land to perform our culture. But people who are professors, who are governments, who are in a government, when coming to issuing of the land, they will give you 20 by 20. Tomorrow you want to do a funeral, you must put the tent close the street. And there are people who are professionals. They are staying in township or in town houses. Mm. They don't even perform their rituals in those town houses, and they got power to can assist our African people to say, guys, man, we are Africans. You cannot give us that small understand. We won't be able to perform our culture. So those who are in a suburb, for example, imagine you are in a townhouse and there's a funeral in the townhouse. Have you ever seen anyone putting a tent in a townhouse? Mm-hmm. No, they will go to the homelands, to their families, and make a funeral there.
But so you're saying we need to shift things around to normalize the culture, even within townhouses or suburbs, to make things different, to sit on those community boards and change how the rules and regulations work.
Remember, we have to do it with our culture.
Yeah.
If there's a funeral, that
I understand your
perform.
Point. Yeah.
Then another thing I want to say, we need support.
Time. Yeah. Abu Joseph, you need support with what?
Yeah, okay. I can see you're cutting me, sir.
Askies, Abu Joseph. We are very, very much out of time. Take his point.
But before he leaves, professors don't own land, so we can't be accused of refusing
to
offer
land. No, you are accused, Professor. You are a professional. You own the land. You have all the power. Prof, your final thoughts in about 30 seconds or less on this topic of, you know, the modernization of the culture, of the rituals, of the rites when it comes to funerals.
My final thought is that let's allow our conscience and our beliefs and our culture to take control to what we can afford to do, what we cannot afford to do, we cannot compromise, but we must observe and respect a dead person and have a proper burial. Because if you don't conduct a proper burial, the spirit will come back to haunt the living.
Yo, I mean, what a way to end our conversation. Professor Sahauke Lengubane, cultural expert, talking to us. Thank you very, very much for your time this afternoon. Okay, so on that haunting note, let's find out what's happening in the very latest Power News.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.